Lightweight.
Welcome back, everybody. I don't know why I fucking feel like doing a Ronnie Coleman reference. But anyways, my name's Josh. Here today with good buddy Adam.
Yeah, buddy.
We're back with a brand new episode. All gas, no trash. And today, you know, we're just going to get right up into it. This is the roundup episode, Jelly Ha Ha. I don't know what you want to call it.
The Jelly Ha Ha roundup.
Yeah, and
it's a summary of all the details that we may have not disclosed
in
previous episodes.
And maybe even info that you may not have been given previously.
Yes.
That we have apparently, allegedly found out or done the research or who knows.
Yes, and I think what this has done for me in particular after having spent the 4th of July weekend looking more into Jelly Ha Ha, I think this is giving me more insight into believing why she has gotten into the position that she has.
Oh, man. I cannot wait. But we will say, even though there hasn't been a No Curse Minute, this episode is still sponsored by Game Rage Magazine. All right. Now, with that out of the way, let's get right into it. I mean, we did our album review, okay, in the 8-ish, 9 days-ish since we've done that. What else have you thought? What are your thoughts, discussions, information, whatever? Let's get into it.
So this is not a trivial matter when it comes to us covering Jelly Ha Ha. I mean, we obviously did this because we're interested in her as an artist.
Yeah.
And it's been fun to cover it in our episodes, but it's not with...
Right.
There's value in what we've been doing, and much so that I would like to illustrate what value we have brought to Jelly Ha Ha. Not for her, but just to say, like, hey, we're having fun, but we're also not fucking around either.
True.
So, amongst the views that we've accumulated, we have garnered 773 unique views of people watching our videos. In addition, there have been 3 or 4 countries in the United States.
Yeah, the big one.
I guess the United Kingdom, not being a country, but a...
well, the Brits, you know.
Yeah, the Brits, right.
And their associated individuals.
Indonesia.
Indonesia?
And India have been incorporated into the fandom of Jelly Ha Ha, which I think, look, I don't know what percentage of people were... Okay, let's just point this out. There's like 1 billion people within India, right?
True.
So if we have cornered a slight percentage of the entire demographic of India, that could be a very cool thing for Jelly Ha Ha, where maybe her music spreads to that part of the world where, without our efforts, like, who knows if it would just be exclusive to just the U.S. or other nearby nations or countries like Canada, perhaps Mexico, but we're going overseas on this bitch.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that...
Not Jelly Ha Ha. I'm just talking about the situation.
Yeah, well, our audience, we've talked about this in the past before, about the multitudes of countries. We've had motherfuckers listen in North Korea. We've had motherfuckers listen in fucking Iran, China. Like, all of the enemy countries of everybody, they listen to us. And I will say, we did talk about this in a past episode, but... India and Pakistan, I mean, they for some reason love Millennial Frog. I don't fucking know why. I have no clue, but they listen to, they play Millennial Frog songs on the radio there on pretty much the regular. I mean, weekly. I get those updates or whatever for like the radio spins and like, fuck, every week we're getting plays in Pakistan and fucking literally India. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know why. But there, we do have some sort of following, and it's noticed in... obviously our podcast episodes, because it's not just Jelly Ha episodes, but people in India and Pakistan and everywhere else, they listen to our fucking podcasts, and they seem to like Jelly Ha Ha, it seems, which is cool, because it'd be cool if maybe we had some sort of like effect on Jelly Ha Ha making some sort of market penetration in India or whatever,
just,
right?
Asia in general.
That would be cool. Like, that would be cool as shit. Between Well, shit, the entire continent of Asia, if you include India and that area as part of it. I mean, shit, there's several billion people that live there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other thing I have to point out is we have talked about in the past, and maybe it was exclusively the album review. It was one of the episodes that we mentioned, as far as the lore surrounding the album and even some of the singles, that one of the songs was inspired by Indian disco, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It doesn't. I bring this up for the reason that things don't jump out the same when it comes to written articles, right? Words do not jump out the same way because, you know, for my personal perspective as far as reading goes is people's ability to concentrate or even read has heavily diminished, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So the only way people actually process things is by like 60-second reels or 60-second TikToks or whatever. And I guess to some degree, podcasting. And I know, like, I don't expect people to check out the entirety of an episode. I know they want to check out the parts that matter to them. But I think for whatever reason, if we've... Well, we did mention the fact that Indian disco was something that Jelly Haha was inspired by. But I think that speaks louder than words jumping off a page, or rather an article. And I think we have contributed to overseas fandom of Jelly Haha because of our podcast. The 10 episodes that we made, we created continuity. We've created a legitimate reason for people to be invested in Jelly Haha.
And you listen to the continuity all the way up until like the album review, right?
Yeah. Which
that's the latest. This is obviously going to be the latest episode, but that was the one previous. And who... Where are you going to get the fucking crazy analysis and inspiration of storylines other than here? I don't know of anyone else that's doing what we're doing and covering any artist, let alone Jelly Haha, in the way that we are doing it. And, you know, I want to say that I personally believe that us discussing from... The beginning, the first episode we talked about Jelly Haha, we sort of, I don't want to say figured out, but I mean, we did some basic internet sleuthing and some, you know, I mean, listen, in our CIA level, you know, investigations that we do, you know, we found out obviously she had previously been Angel Abaya as, you know, herself, right? She had been an artist previously that kind of really didn't, you know, go anywhere, right? And we continually bring up that storyline and we talked about how that is a great story. Everybody loves a comeback story. America loves a comeback story, and so does the rest of the world. And to be kind of misused by a previous, you know, employer, essentially, that's kind of like a relatable aspect that we all kind of feel, right? And to have Angel Abaya become Jelly Haha, they were definitely not putting that out there. And just recently... We've seen in the interviews, in the articles that she's been featured in, they're referring to her as Angel Abaya. They're bringing that up. And I fully believe that's because of us. I fully fucking believe. Maybe I'm delusional, but I fully believe and I know. And listen, you can lie to me. You can lie to everyone else, but you can't lie to yourself. I know her people are listening to this. Okay, I know they listen to us. Based on the location, the views. Listen, we're CIA-level investigators here, okay? We figure shit out, okay?
All right.
You can try to listen through a VPN, we'll get your bitch ass, all right? We got you. Okay, but I just want to say, I do think that us continually discussing that fact, I think that's made them more like, hey, you know what? And I'm not trying to, like, take credit for it or anything, because, listen, your PR team, you guys are the ones that are doing this shit. And good on you for taking... some shit that we're saying that's a great idea and utilizing it to promote her, because in the end, that's what we want. We want her to fucking be huge. Like, in the end, we believe in this project and we think it should go straight to the fucking moon. So there, don't take this incorrectly as like, oh, we're trying to say shit about you stealing from us. No. Steal as much as you want. Take whatever ideas we give you and run with them, because in the end, if it helps her become the artist that we believe that she can be, that's just, that helps everyone, right? That's great for everyone, including her, and including the people who listen to fucking music.
Yeah.
I just want to say, again, to recap, I do believe that the reason they've been focusing on that from PR's perspective is because we discussed it and said how it's a great idea. It's a great comeback story. You should be focusing on that. You should be saying, look at this girl who was basically misused by her previous management, her previous label, her previous employer, for lack of a better term. And we all, like I said, can relate to that, right? Like, our employers screw us at every chance they get. They don't use us right. We feel misrepresented. We feel like, you know, hey, they don't care about us. But now she's here with this new label. They care about her. They give a shit about her, and they're doing something about it. And they're pushing her in the right direction. And they've given her this sweet new gimmick. It's just like wrestling, man. Like, yeah, Mark Calloway, Mean Mark, didn't do so good in WCW, but when he went to the WWF and became the Undertaker, you now have a legend. That's what, what's the name of the fucking label? I can't remember. The management? I can't fucking remember.
The management of Jelly Hall?
Yeah.
Loyalty.
Yeah, Loyalty. They have now created an Undertaker-level fucking character in Jelly Haha. And they've taken the Mean Mark version from WCW that they fucked about with and didn't do it right. Now they've taken it and turned it into the Undertaker.
Well, I think it's more so Jelly, or rather Angel Baya,
becoming that level.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But yeah, rather old Loyalty opening up those doors,
right,
and getting her to that, where she basically is now.
Yeah.
And where she will be basically in like 3 years. Cause I think I don't know why, man, but when I see Magdalena Bay as part of the roster of Loyalty, man, that sets the precedent. That is the floor, or rather, it is the ceiling of where Jelly Haha could go. And perhaps it might even be the floor. It's like, hey, this is what this group has done creatively. And she's moving very quickly. The music is progressing very nicely on, you know, streaming platforms. And obviously she has the album release show at Resident DTLA. But I think the sights for her are set even fucking higher. Like, I think this is going to progress far better than what Magdalena Bay has done. But anyways.
Yeah. And I do want to say this too. I do think that they kind of sat on this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she, based on her social media and people that have been involved in the project that talked about how they've kind of come to be involved with it. I mean, they talked about listening to this full album back in like 2024. So obviously this album was probably, this project was in the works for several years, obviously, beforehand. And I think the whole album was done probably, maybe, who knows, early 2024, and they've kind of sat on it and just said, hey, let's see what's going on here. Let's get the hype train going. Let's do whatever we got to do. Let's do this right. And I think that since the album was probably done beginning 2024, I have a feeling we're going to see a follow-up second album. You know, we talked about that, how artists basically put out, what, an album every 3 to 5 years? To 5 years, essentially, is like the time frame.
Yeah.
I think we see one in under 3 years from her. I think maybe 24 months at most, we see a follow-up album to this. Because I think that since she's been working on it, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like the next album's coming.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially when you consider that. I mean, I can't imagine when the album was made, but let's say, because when she released her album that was As Angel Abaya, I think that was like in 2023. So between 2023 and 2025, she probably wrote stuff out and then had it done by, you know,
like I said,
before the end of 2024.
People said, hey, people that came onto the project, she's reposted some of the shit of them saying stuff, and they've said, hey, I listened to this. They played this album for me in 2024. Like, I listened to this whole album in 2024. So it was done in 2024 at some point.
Yeah.
And then they sat on it and said, hey, we need to do some music videos. We need to build this like hype train or whatever.
Yeah. And that was stuff that we've covered in a previous episode,
right?
That Taylor Nicholson woman that does the
set production than Dave Patel, who's like the creative director. But like, I think I undersold the creativeness of Jelly Haha, or rather Angel by the Person, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to get into like the details that like I found. Because I think this is going to shape like this has kind of recontextualized the project for me. And it actually makes me think maybe where the music can go going forward. Because I don't think it's going to take anything away of what she's done within this album. I think it's only going to add more of, I guess, her previous self. Yeah, I don't.
All right. Let me hear it.
All right. So there's quite a bit to cover. So at a very young age, she was learning violin. So I think that's a good place to start as a child. Like to be doing music at such a young age. I mean,
yeah, you're some sort of classical instrument, piano, violin, right. Cello. Right.
Well, that's another one. Yeah. It's been said that if you are capable of learning piano, that you're kind of opening yourself up to playing pretty much every instrument, right?
Yeah.
So in her youth, she did those things, and she even was like in dance, and even like the performing arts of Boise, Idaho, where she resided previously.
Hold on, I just want to say, man.
What?
You don't hear Boise, Idaho and think, oh yeah, that's a hotbed of creativity and musical proclivity, right? Like, you don't really think that.
But it's weird enough, it's strange enough of a situation that somebody like Jelly Haha would come out of it.
Yeah, it is. That's why the story works. It makes sense.
Right. So, like I was saying, she has been embedded within the performing arts of Boise, Idaho. Not only developing her skills as a musician, playing violin and playing piano, also learning to some degree like orchestration. So
yeah,
to learn those things and also do the performing arts aspect of like even music, that kind of sets the floor for herself. Like, I think it's a bad, I don't want to say it's a bad thing, but like when you're an artist, like let's say your whole life is being a musician, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're in a band, right? And your goal is to be fucking that. I think you're setting yourself up for failure because it's almost like a country that's like heavily invested in oil.
Right.
Like that's not going to work. Like, you need to be in agriculture and like tourism and like all these different things because you need to diversify, right?
Yeah. Diversify your bonds, as they say.
Right. So like her as an individual already being diverse at a young age, I think boded well for her. And then, so in terms of like performing arts, she used to be involved with this thing called LED, which is like I don't exactly remember what it is, but it's like, I think it involved dancing, right?
Okay.
So there was that. There was the Boise Rock School. And also she was involved with Treefort Fest, which is like the first festival that she played at. Mm-hmm, so she was involved in the communications department of Treefort Festival. And one of the people that is her friend, her name is Shelby June Jenkins or something like that. I'm not sure about the middle name, but it's Shelby Jenkins, right? So she became friends with this woman named Shelby, who was also in the Boise performing arts scene, right? She attributes her for also being involved like in the Jelly Haha project, or just even like the creative endeavors of Angel Abaya, right? So that's somebody that is mentioned within the songs, like Selby.
Okay,
interesting, right?
Yes.
A nice little nod to a friend.
It's like an Easter egg.
Yeah, it is an Easter egg. Yeah. And then, so she had a fascination with jazz, and she had bands that she participated in, one of them being called Electric Coconut. And I listened to this thing on Bandcamp, and I was like, this is weird. I mean, it's good in a way, But like, you could tell that her being in this project, like, it just wasn't going to work out because you know that situation where like somebody's destined for better things? Like, this felt like a stepping stone of being onto better things. So Jellyhaha being well versed in jazz and being in a jazz project, like, that is fucking cool, man. To not only learn piano, violin, to be familiar with orchestras or orchestration, jazz music. So within the music element of Angel of Bias, she's already done all that. And then the performing arts, she's also been involved with like different organizations to as far as like performances go. And then we get to like the part about Angel of Bias, her solo project, which I thought was particularly interesting. So with there's this song that's not on Spotify, and it's called Jelly, like spelled exactly
G-E-L-L-I.
Yeah. And it's not on Spotify. It's not on any digital stream. It's like a music video that's, as far as I know, it's only available on fucking YouTube. But it doesn't sound like Jellyhaha, but it almost is like a fraction of what Jellyhaha is.
Oh, it was the inklings.
Yeah.
The beginnings of it.
Right. And I found this blog. I found this fucking blog. I can't remember who it was, but I just took the quote, and it says, I had only played two shows before under my solo project, and it was just me performing by myself with some loops and some live instrumentation, Angel explains, referring to Angel Baia. Tree Fort Festival, she had intended to step up the live set with dancers and other performance elements. So talking about like Angel of Baia, she was already thinking that there was going to be more stuff added on to project, but it didn't end up being fucking Angel of Baia. It was Jellyhaha. So she has performed in every iteration of Tree Fort Festival.
Man, all right. Real quick, what if this is like a middle finger to like her previous thing? Because she made that song Jelly, right? Yeah. And so she's like, Jelly, haha, fuck you, look at me, I win, bitch.
Oh, maybe.
Like, yeah, maybe. That would be awesome. Anyway, right. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, so adding on to that, what was it called? Earthly Libraries was that record label. It was from Alabama or
idiots.
Some shit.
What idiots, man.
All right, so I went on the website because I think there's a website or a Bandcamp page. And it was the website. So I look on their roster. They have an alumni page, right?
Uh-huh.
They don't even have her on it.
Well, yeah, because do you want to be the guy who fucking fumbled the bag on Jellyhaha? Do you want to be the dude who didn't draft Tom Brady in the fucking NFL draft? No, you don't want to be that guy who missed out. You don't want to be known as that. You're going to delete, especially now that they're referring to her as Angel of Baia in a lot of these publications and a lot of these things related to Jellyhaha. If I was that previous label, I'd be like, delete her from everything. All right.
Yeah.
We don't want to be associated. We don't want anyone to know that she was with us before, because what does that tell you as a label? Like, you guys dropped the bag. You fumbled that shit like nobody's business.
Right.
So like, I would be like, dude, delete it. Get rid of it. We don't want it'd be like coming in. The plane is at the second tower. Like, that's it. It's over. This is that record label's 9/11 is them referring to her now as Angel Abaya.
How do you think it actually went down, though? Because I'm just based on how she's not present on the alumni page.
Yeah.
Or even like the roster. I don't think it was an amicable breakup.
It wasn't, because she probably had said, hey, I want to start including some dancers. I want to include this shit, which what does that require?
Money.
Yeah. And they probably said, no, we're not going to give you more money. So she probably said, fine, fuck you, I'll go somewhere else. And she did that. And Loyal T took her on and said, hey, we're gonna put some fucking money into this. We're going to go ahead and like give you what you want and give you the artistic freedom to create a project that will be successful. We're going to let you be successful. And that's what the previous record label failed at, was not allowing her to be successful. Because I tell you right now, if they would have let her do what she wanted, and she would have done some sort of iteration. Yeah, it would have been different than what this jelly haha thing may have been.
Like a neutered or diluted version.
Maybe it would have been the same if they would have put the same amount of effort into letting her do it. Who knows? But we'll never know that answer, right?
I wonder. Okay, so I don't know why, but I feel like I want to bring this up, and please don't crucify me for this. Because
I can hear people getting the nails in the wood planks ready.
But okay, I'm curious, man, because I think there is a slight problem in her going by Angel Bai, right? It's her government name.
Yeah, so.
And that's her first project, that her first her first project. Well, maybe her first like legitimate project besides Electric Coconut, right?
Okay.
Where she was actually committed to making music videos and making the music and all that shit. But the thing doesn't work out. So she made music under that. So I imagine the record label was like, hey, you can't have this. Like, you signed away your masters to us and the light, or maybe, I don't know, let's say like the likeness or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So now you need to start over somewhere else. And it's not going to be with the Angel Bai name, or you can't do it under Angel Bai because we have the suite of music that we have. But like, there also is a part of me that wonders, because like Angel Abaya, and I've read that she's Filipino, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you think that because, and maybe I'm reading, maybe this is me being partially critical of like the music industry, but like, I always had it in the back of my mind, because we found out her name like is Angel Abaya, right? There's a part of me that thought that she chose this name because it's a neutral flavored thing. And maybe we've talked about this, but I did wonder if that name was too Filipino for like the music industry as well. Like if she could release music as Angel Bai, that she opted to go with something different because that thing was holding her back. Because maybe the music industry is like, that's too Filipino. And yes, there are other people that exist. There's like Olivia Rodrigo, who's also Filipino, but she's like an exception more than the rule. And like, I feel like people are that critical of artists, where if it's not something that's catchy and stands out, if it's too ethnic or too racial, or if it's too culturally inclined, that it almost doesn't, like, I don't want to say it doesn't work out, but maybe for her situation, like, we'll pass.
I mean, that's plausible. I think that like Jelly Haha is neutral, right? Like, there's no, you can't really surmise any, I mean, she's an alien, quote unquote, or whatever the fuck, interdimensional being, whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? So there is no racial, now granted, listen, if we were in the Warhammer universe, she would be considered heresy and be destroyed. However, we're not in that. We're here on Earth. So basically, you know, it's neutral. No one can really surmise anything from the name, so they will be more likely to give it a chance, perhaps. I don't know, because again, I'm also an idiot. So like, when I hear Angel Abaya, I don't think Filipino. I think, okay, maybe like, you know, Central American. I don't know. I'm an idiot. So like, I don't fucking know, but I'm not going to immediately turn. I'm not an asshole. So I'm not going to just be like, oh, that's too ethnic for me. I don't like that. Now, I realize I'm probably the exception more so than the rule. So most people probably wouldn't do that. They'd go, that there sounds a little too, I don't know why I'm doing a Texan accent, but it makes sense. That's a little too, that sounds a little too there ethnic for my taste. Yeah. I'm not going to go ahead and listen to that there, Angel Abaya.
Yeah.
So maybe that was part of the reason why it didn't go the way maybe she thought it would. I mean, I don't know. I also do think that the previous record label, like I said, did fuck up. Like they mishandled this in a way that, you know, obviously, we've learned from, again, going back to wrestling, you can't really copyright somebody's government name, right? So yes, maybe they own the masters and the tracks and the musical artist known as Angel Abaya, but she that's her government name, right? She can't be like, they can't copyright that. So her referring to herself as that now is just another fuck you and taking it back. I think that's what she's doing. I think that's why they've, another one of the reasons why they maybe started doing this is to take it back and say, well, what are you going to do? We're forcing you to either acknowledge that you did this and you fucked it up, or you're going to have to delete it and get rid of it. And now that's what they've chosen to do. They've chosen to erase it. It's gone. To not be associated with it. And fuck, that's a genius move. That's one of those 5D chess maneuvers that you keep hearing about. Oh, let me just refer to myself as my legal government name as being part of the Jelly Haha project.
And they also,
they can't stop me from doing that.
They also spin it in a funny way. I read this article where they refer to Angel Abaya as her government name, as all, as if it were part of the gimmick of Jelly Haha. That,
oh yeah, see, that's, again, you can't really say anything. Yeah. You can't copyright infringe that. You're talking about her as the person, but she's a member of Jelly Haha, if you want to like spin it that way.
Yeah.
There's plenty of ways to get around it. So yeah, maybe that previous thing also fucked up by letting her go under her normal name. They should have been like the WWE does and say, hey, no, we're going to give you a gimmick name and that's what we're going to own. So then if you do go somewhere, we can fucking say, no, sorry, you, we own this. And then when you go to fucking All Elite or All Elderly Wrestling, you have to use a different name, all right?
Or you could be the Ultimate Warrior and just make your name the Ultimate
Warrior. Yeah, that's true. You just change
your name. She becomes Jelly
Hot. Hey, she can legally change her name to that, and then no one can tell her to fuck off. Like, they can't tell her to do shit with that, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So there's a few things to, a few additional things to mention. So I don't know if this is the beginning of the relationship between D-Lux and Angel Abaya, but there has been blogs or even additional articles that have mentioned. See, they like kind of graze over like the Angel Abaya shit. They graze over it. The artist part, like they don't talk about that. They talk about
the person.
They talk about the D-Lux and Angel Abaya relationship.
Yeah.
And everything else is kind of like glossed over. I'm like, there's a lot of good shit here, man. Like, her being involved with like the Boise, Idaho scene of music and also the performing arts aspect, that's fucking cool. And also knowing that she was developing her skills as a musician from even a youthful age, like, you know, from childhood, basically. Yeah. But, like, that's cool. And also, so the choreographer's name was Selby June Jenkins. So yeah, Selby.
Right.
So yeah, referring to the cameo or Easter egg thing that is in a spit, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was this track that D-Lux, Sean Guerin, who is her collaborator slash producer, that is also part of Jelly Haha. So they've worked on a track together in the past with an artist named, Espacio Dios, which is like space God, basically. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like they don't, it's not really mentioned in any online searches, any additional information about that like artist or anything surrounding that particular song. So I don't know. And also, so on Innovative Leisure, there's an artist called, Le Eclair. And that was, so they did a song together with Jelly Haha. And I just had to quickly mention that because, you know, they're on the same roster as Innovative Leisure. So, you know, the same record label, like you could see her, that she's working or collaborating with other artists on the same record label. But yeah, that was more or less it. But OK, so like after having heard that she has jazz roots in a previous project, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility, and I would love to see it. Because she has the flute players, right?
Right.
And she doesn't need to go all in on the jazz part. But, like, let's say the next album comes out and she wants to start incorporating things in the past that she never really got to visit as Angel Abaya, like that that folk experimental project she did. Like, what if she incorporates a fucking saxophone? Like,
man,
like some acid jazz shit, like some really out there. Because this project is already out there to begin with. But imagine you incorporate the jazz element in a saxophone. Like, that would be fucking rad.
I mean, if you throw in those orchestral elements, the violins, the cellos, that kind of shit with the saxophones, the flutes. I mean, Jesus Christ. You're talking about, and again, just to reiterate on the aspect of her being classically trained in music, right?
Yeah.
she worked, you know, for that Tree Fort Festival doing like communications. Okay.
She's also, she was also a lyricist.
Right.
For other artists.
So someone being classically trained in music, also kind of now being a level of understanding of the business, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Remember we did that whole episode about how there's generally two different motherfuckers in this realm. There's motherfuckers that are creatives that can do the music, and then there's motherfuckers that are non-creatives that can do the business side of it. And you got to have a melding of the two, right? To like make a successful artist, you got to have someone who's good at the business portion. You got to have someone who's good with the creativity and actually making the music.
Mm-hmm.
She's now kind of maybe twisting into the realm of kind of like being in that sweet spot of kind of having both aspects to herself. And again, getting out of that deal with the previous record label and going into something new, that's a business, that's a big brain business move right there.
Yeah.
And I do think that you've got someone who's classically trained in music. That's a level of talent that most people can't understand, right? Most people can't comprehend that. You know, not to make it about me, but I'm a dumb fuck. I don't know how to fucking read music. I don't know how to write music. I don't do shit about that. I just make noises on the thing that sound good, and then I put them in an order that sounds fucking pleasant to my ears. That's it. That's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't do anything else.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll take noises, and I'll fucking reverse them and fucking flip them upside down and do some shit. I don't know. I just fuck about. That's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone who is classically trained in music.
Oh yeah.
And that's a rarity. There's not a lot of people
and who can do
that. And another thing. The choreographic aspect of it. I mean, she's the total package, man.
Yeah.
You are right. This has recontextualized the argument. It has recontextualized the entire project.
Yeah.
This information, in my view, because of the fact that, wow, this is going to be, this has the potential and, dare I even say, the destiny to be huge. Like, that's the destiny end of this.
Yeah. And it's, everything was a stepping stone leading up to this moment of being Jelly Haha, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it didn't work in the previous projects,
right?
But that doesn't mean I can't take things from the past and then start incorporating them now in the future.
Yeah.
Her being, again, talking about having a long tenured history in music, but also being a choreographer, learning to write songs for other people. I mean, I don't know what she does as her day job, but I mean, if she was in the communications department, I imagine she's like doing some PR shit.
Yeah.
So she knows how to market herself. She, to me, is such a well-rounded individual, having looked into all this stuff, that she set up herself for success, and now we're seeing it manifest.
Man. Dude, I know this will never happen, but shit, man, we would have such a great conversation with her.
Yeah, and if we don't like get everything right, it doesn't matter, because
doesn't matter,
obviously we care enough to talk about this extensively and exhausted at every fucking point. But like, yeah, I mean, dude, would we love to have the opportunity to like talk to her, just to get all basically our story straight.
Yeah,
but I think our inquisitive nature like demonstrates that. We want this to succeed. We think it's interesting. People think it's interesting. It's obviously showing because you're all invested. And
true
it's,
story,
it,
man.
It shows up on the dashboard. You guys are, you know, looking at the videos. Yeah,
they show up for Jelly Haha when we talk about Jelly Haha.
Yeah, but I mean, fuck, man, that would be so cool to have even a 5-minute conversation with her. It's, you know, it's like fucking Brody in Mallrats when he's talking to Stan Lee. He's like, the thing is, his dork made of rock too? He's like, and Mr. Fantastic, does his dong, can it stretch all the way? Yeah, I feel like that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Hey, like the fucking the what was it? The fucking portal. Remember from fucking the, what was it? What do we call it?
Oh, the Tentussy?
The Tentussy, yeah. Does the Tentussy become a portal? Like, does it go to another realm?
Can we fucking do it?
I mean, we would also ask serious questions, too.
Yeah.
But we would have a great fucking time.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
Anyways, all right. What else you got? Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right.
No.
Well, anyways. Yeah, if you want, listen, if you want to hear us ask Jelly Haha about the Tentussi, then hit her up and say, hey, you should really talk to these guys at All Gas No Trash.
I got a better proposition. If you guys can get us to like 1,000 fucking followers.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, if we have a proof of concept, if we could sell to her like, hey, we've gotten views and followers and people listening across different parts of the world. Do you think you could have a 5-minute conversation with us?
Yeah.
Because we care about what you do. We've obviously turned on other people to this music. Like, can you have a 5-minute conversation with us?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Anyways. So, like,
Get us to 1,000.
Yeah.
Share with everybody.
Yeah, get us to 1,000 and, like, just have her convinced that what we're doing matters and it's helping her out. It's helping us out. There's the proposition.
Yeah, I'm going to call upon the Indian hordes of followers that we have.
And the Indonesians
and the Pakistanis and the British and the fucking everybody. To tell it to all your friends, all right?
Also, on RSS, our podcast, because it's hosted on there, we're not just exclusive to that. We're also like, dude, we're ending up like Botswana, different African countries, but Mexico is also like checking out Jelly Haha, and also Canada and Stockholm, Sweden. Yeah.
Everybody, the millions and millions.
Eventually, everybody will be enveloped in the Tentussi of Jelly Haha.
Yeah, so. If you want to get into the Tentussi, share this to your friends.
Right.
We should rename this episode to the Tentussi now.
Everybody to the Tentussi. Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Well, thanks for listening. That's all we have. If you like us, spread the word. If you don't like us, tell everybody, spread the word about how much you hate us and tell everybody that they should go listen to us so they can shit on us. That's a great idea. And also go fuck yourself.